This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He gave us.
Increase your good deeds. This is the best way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Practice the deen. Be righteous. There is no any other way to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for you except to do what He wants. And stay away from what He hates. Yeah. And pray the sunan. Do more. The more you do, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you and the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase His blessings upon you, inshaAllah. Allah. The one who owns Nisab. Yeah, inshallah, we're going to talk about zakah one day, bismillah. So, if you have money that reaches Nisab for gold, is 85 grams of gold. For fidda, which is the silver, is 595 grams of fidda. This is the limit. When you have this amount or equivalent to it in the paper money, the currency, when it stays with you for a year, you don't touch them. Let's say today you have, what is the day today? 26, right? 26 October. You have the money today which reads Nisab and you kept it in the bank or at home. When 26 October 2014 comes and the money is still with you, you never use it for anything, you have to pay the zakah. You take 2.5%. So if you want to know how it is, just divide the money into 40 and take one and give it to charity. It's so little. Very little. When you have $1,000, how much is it? Is the amount that you're supposed to give a person? $25. And you want is $25 compared to $1,000. $25. Not even $100. No, $25. But still they don't give. And I'm telling you, some people, their zakah is in millions. Millions. That means how much he has. If you give 1 million for zakah, that means you have 40 million ringgit. Come on, brothers. You have 40 million ringgit and you cannot take 1 million and give it in charity for the sake of Allah. And when you do, you're not reducing the money. You are increasing it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that which you gave someone, you understand, multiply it by 700. It will come back to you in abundance also. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. But still they don't do. And if you take 1 million ringgit, if you have 40 million, and you take 1 million and give, how many needy, people are going to be satisfied living next to you? A lot, wallahi, a lot. If you take 1,000 and you give someone, and some people, they have family, but they spend maybe in the month 400 ringgit, 300 ringgit. They manage to squeeze their life to eat. Anything comes in. You get it? You come and you give him 1,000 ringgit, and you give the other one. You have 1 million. How many thousands do you have? 100,000, right? 100,000. 1 million. How many thousands do you have?
1,000. 100.
Thousand
times. Yes.
Thousand times.
Yes.
Then it comes 1 million. So if you give 1,000 ringgit to each poor, let's say there are many, you give 1,000. It's not recommended to cut it into so many pieces. Give someone The minimum should be the nisab of zakah. Make him rich. So for example, you have 1 million to be given. You take 10,000 and you get one needy person. Maybe he never saw them in his life. Say, brother, take this. May Allah SWT conceal your affairs. And look at the way the scholar said, he's given the zakah. You understand? If he's given the zakah, his hand should come down. Normally, if I give charity, my hand is on top and his hand is down. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hand that is on top is better than the one that is underneath. But they say, if you are giving charity, it is recommended that you should put your hand underneath. And the faqir should put his hand on top, because you are not doing favor to faqir. It's not your money actually. This is Allah's money that He sent you as a wakil to go and send it to this person. It's not your money. When I give charity, the normal one, this is my money I'm giving somebody. I'm doing favor to this person. But when you're giving zakah, there is no favor at all. So you take it to this person and give it. I'm telling you, if you have problem in your house, let's say he's your neighbor, and some people come to your house trying to rob your house, the whole community will come. You will not need security in your house. The people will be guarding your house. Any movement that is not normal that comes from your house, everyone is going to come to see what is going on. That's the cooperation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see it taking place in the Muslim community. That's the solidarity and help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. So your poor person will be satisfied, and the rich person will be protected, because the whole community is going to protect his wealth. And everyone is going to love him, and they're going to make dua for you and your money also. What else you want? But still, this is selfishness. And some people, they are so greedy. They just want to take everything for themselves. Even if everyone is dying. Imagine some people, they are so rich. Wallahi, go to some places and see some people, they are so rich. And look at the people next to him. Very poor. Very, very poor. I went to one of the countries. I saw the difference between the rich and the poor. It never came to my mind to see the difference in, between the poor and the rich, until I went to that place. You see, someone is driving the latest car, and next to him there is no one except thousands of people riding bicycles, and many of them, they have no shoes. They're walking without shoes. And you can see some of them just coming with this. I'm telling you, if every single person in that community is taking that which has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him to give in charity, most of these people are going to be satisfied. Many people in that place that we went, they are sleeping on the road. We don't know whether they have home or not, but we see them. I don't think that someone has house to live in will come on the street and sleep in the middle of the road or at the side of the road, next to the dreams. So that's happened when the rich people are so greedy. They don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what will take place. So this is zakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. When you have this, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting you to give from your charity. Inshallah, when we reach zakah issue, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, we will survive until then. We will talk a little bit more. If they make adhan, you have to leave your house. You must go to the masjid. It is wajib for a male to pray inside the masjid. You can pray at home. It's haram for someone to pray inside the house. If there is adhan and there is jama'ah established in the masjid, you have to leave and go to the place. No lesson. You see, the adhan, it not necessary that you must hear the adhan for you to go to the masjid. But we just use the word because this is the norm, the adhan will come. It is my job to know the prayer time and to move to the masjid at the moment I know Muslims are praying in the masjid, whether the adhan comes to me or not. The adhan is just a means, as I said, to remind people that people are praying in the masjid, and now need the prayer time. That's it. It is not more or less. But it is wajib upon me to ask someone to wake me up for the prayer, not to depend on the adhan, if I know that sometimes I will not hear the adhan from the masjid. So whether the adhan comes or the adhan does not come, I have to go. So the only thing is, the scholars will ask you to just look at the distance. If there is no any difficulty for you to reach the masjid, you must go. But if the masjid is so far, for example, since we are in Inti, where?
This village.
I don't know that. For example, from here to the petrol station, you have to go there to pray. If you said everyone from Inti has to go there, quite difficult, unless if he has car or motorbike or bicycle. And still it will take from him 5 to 6 minutes to reach the masjid. So in this case, if the people of the community can arrange and come and pray, even in the house of one of them, it will be appreciated, inshallah. Better. The issue is the jama'ah shouldn't be neglected. You get it? But if there is a masjid next to us, we have to go to the masjid. We shouldn't open small surahs. Allahu a'lam. That's actually the mas'uliyah of the responsibility of the committee of the masjid. Whenever a masjid has a committee, it is haram for those committees to just choose the imam anyhow. They must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take the best in recitation of the Quran. And among those best people in terms of reciting the book of Allah, they must choose someone who knows the deen better. And they must choose someone who is humble, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. That's the responsibility. They cannot just do Qur'an, whoever comes out, and they just put him inside. No. They have to bring them and, at least ask people to see who is who. Which one shall we take? And then they select based on this. You get it? That's one. And the muadhin also, they should take the best. The one who knows how to pronounce the words. What did he say? He says, عَلِّمْهُ بِلَالًا فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى مِنْكَ صَوْتًا. He says, teach the adhan. You see, Abdullah ibn Zayd, he got it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, you don't do it. Teach Bilal, because Bilal has a very nice and beautiful voice than you. Louder than you, and more excellent than yours. That's why they mentioned that the shurut al-adhan, how many shurut you have for adhan? Three. Amana, knowledge, al-ilm, bil-waqt, what else? And also as-sawt. Amana, he has to be Amin. Because if he is not Amin, he can call the adhan before the prayer time. And who will be in trouble? Sisters at home. At least you, when you go to the masjid, you will see the taqwim. You know that it is not time. But the woman at house, she trusts you. She hears the adhan, she breaks her fast. Especially when there is cloud, they couldn't see it properly. She breaks her fast, or you stop her from eating at home. Fajr time. And then later on, you come and apologize. That it was a mistake after the tragedy, and the mistake already took place. So he has to be Amin. Amin in time, and Amin also because in those days they used to have adhan on top of the mezana. No loudspeakers, no anything. So that the highest and the tallest building is the masjid. Not the whole building, but the mezana, the minaret goes up. Because the muadhin used to go there and make adhan so that more people can hear the adhan. So what will happen is, he will be able to have access to the houses of others. And people, usually they don't cover their house, the whole thing. It's based on the culture. The Arab culture is not to... Maybe now the culture is different, but before, the houses, the rooms are closed. Where people sleep is closed, it's covered. But there is a basement of the house which is open. So sisters will come in that place. As usual, she will not cover her hair, thinking that there is no one who is looking at her. This is her own territory. And privacy. And the man is making adhan, what is he going to see? He will watch the awrat of the Muslimin. That's why they need amana. Ibn Qayyim mentioned about something, someone who lost his deen because of this. He was making adhan and he was looking down the masjid and he saw a girl inside the house of a Christian. He finished the adhan quickly and went into the house and he told them he wanted to marry the girl. She said, you can't, you have to change your religion into Christianity, and he accepted. Allahumma sta'an. And you know the story, at the end of the day, he lost the woman, and he lost his deen, and he lost his life also. He fell down off the roof and he died. You see, that's why they need amana. They say, what? Close your eyes. Because most likely you're going to see something that you cannot be patient. I'm telling you, wallahi, many, 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 many people lost their deen because of woman. Not because the woman is bad, no, because of them not controlling themselves. Ibn Abdul Rahman, الذي يقول ابن كثير, in his book Bidaya والنهاية, قبحه الله. He brought his story and he says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him. He was a person who memorizes the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because of a woman, Christian woman, he accepted her religion and he lost the deen because of her. How many people are in this situation? Some people at the last minute they're going to die, they're calling the names of those sisters that they used to love. One of the Saudi scholars mentioned about a man that makes sujood for a prostitute woman. They were going to one of the countries that mentioned the name where prostitutes is legal. Prostitution is legal. So they were going to that place and she came late. At the time she came, he made sujood for her. He said, wallahi, from that sujood they took him to the graveyard. Many, many, read the books written by the great scholars and see amazing things. It will help a lot for some man to restrict himself for what is halal for him. So we need amana, and we need the second thing, we said, halal, the knowledge with the time. He has to be someone who knows the prayer time, not based on calendars. It's something that I wish all of the muadhin and whoever is making adhan in the masjid, he knows what Sharia set up as a time for every prayer. By looking at the nature, the movement of the sun, or the fajr, not the calendar. Because there is mistake in some of them, especially the fajr. We talk about this in detail, you have to be very, very careful. Alhamdulillah, in this place that we are living in, almost in every masjid between the prayer time and the adhan, you have 10 to 15 minutes. That make it look nice, alhamdulillah. Because many scholars reminded that they do their own searching and they found that sometimes fajr comes out after the time that is written, 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes even more than that. And you know, when you pray not on time, the prayer will not be accepted. You have to repeat it as soon as you remember. So alhamdulillah, whenever you go to the masajid, normally fajr prayer, between the fajr and the adhan and the iqamah, there is gap which is sufficiently enough for fajr to come out. That's why alhamdulillah, when you finish the prayer, you will see the light of the day begins. That means alhamdulillah, we're doing it in the right way. But if you're praying alone, don't use this at all. That's why some scholars said, if the muadhin is basing his adhan on the calendar that's written, and you wake up at that moment, take your zuhur. Because it is confirmed by them that they are setting up the time sometimes 5 minutes before the real time. They say they are trying to protect people's fasting. The way you are trying to protect people's fasting, which no one asks you to do that, try also protect their prayer also. Because the sister at home, when she hears the adhan, she wants to catch the first part of the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves is to pray at the first part of the time. There are sisters who are so excellent, they're looking for that time. As soon as the muadhin say the adhan, they quickly repeat what he said and go and make wudu immediately and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can get that blessing. So if the adhan is earlier than the real time, what will happen? You're putting them into trouble. Although they will not be responsible if they don't know, but Allah SWT will ask them, why did they pray at that moment? And they will bring you in the hereafter. You will be responsible. So you have to know the time. And the last one is salt. The one who is making adhan has to be someone who has a very loud voice. Especially in those days, or if the electricity is not working, you need someone who is very loud voice. Because if you bring someone like someone, the voice is so simple, and you ask him to make adhan, he is making adhan to who? I went to a masjid, I prayed, and the muadhin is there. I said, how come today there's no adhan? He said, I made adhan. We're living next to him. We do not hear, and the mic is there. He was using mic. And still we did not hear from the house. We are next to him. This is not Adhan. You get it? Adhan means you are announcing that the prayer time is due. And actually the Adhan is for who? The ghafilin min al-nas. The heedless among the people, because the actual people who are concerned of the prayer, they come to the masjid before the time. They know the time arrives. They always think of it. But there are some people who are busy with their businesses and sleeping. The Adhan is for them actually. You get it? The righteous people, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّكُمْ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ The Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those people. Finish. The time where the plane is on. So you move. Let's say here is Malaysia. You're moving. When you reach this is Indonesia. You don't say, no, we're coming from Malaysia, we use the Malaysian time. No, you use the place where the aeroplane is in. When it is here, they know. They will tell you. And that's why sometimes you will get annoyed, especially when you fast. You want to break your fast. Long time ago, you see, last year, we are in the place, and I can see the darkness of the night, and the people are kept on telling us for almost 2 hours. They ask us to be patient. It is not yet time to break your fast in the place we are in. So everyone was obeying. We listen. And sometimes you go to a place, I went to a place, they told me that they announced, now it's time to break your fast. I look here, I can see the sun next to me. I say, come on, brother. This is my first time to experience this. I refuse to break my fast. So what's she talking about? There's a sun next to me and everyone is breaking their fast. You get the idea. So they're just looking at the place, at the moment they are. The place is not yet time yet. They know, you don't know. So you just obey them, inshallah. If they're Muslims, then. Allahu alam. And now it is alhamdulillah. No more question about how to pray. Because many aeroplanes nowadays have masjid inside. Very nice, wallah. At the back of the aeroplane, they have some space, you go pray there, inshallah. Because it is wajib to stand in your prayer. You get it? When you are in the plane and you decide to pray, you have to stand up. Unless if there is no space at all. But there is always going to be a space. So you go and look for some space that you know that inshallah you will not disturb others, and just Allahu Akbar and pray. Sometimes someone will say, people, they will look at you. So what? Let them look, inshallah, the good means of da'wah. What are you doing? Explain. Tell them, mashallah, it's very beautiful religion. When you do this, you have this and that. Maybe someone will accept, inshallah, before you leave the aeroplane. But it can never be an excuse that people are going to look at you. You get it? It can never be an excuse. You have to do it. Even if all the world is going to look at you, just pray. You're not harming anyone. You're just practicing your deen. They have their own idols in the back and they worship whenever they wish to. And nobody is making comment. Why somebody has to make comment when you're practicing yours? No zakah in house. Alhamdulillah. You have a house that is no zakah. It says million years. You have 1 million houses that you own them, not for business. If it is for business, then you pay zakah for them yearly. But if it is not for business, then no zakah at all.
You are renting the house?
No, you pay from the rental, not from the house. Because taxi drivers, they didn't pay the zakah for the taxi. They pay for the money they got from the taxi. You get it? If the money reached nisab and that money stays with you for a year, you have to pay zakah, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Do you have to pay zakah on usable things in home or things which we sell for future, like sofa beds?
Should we sell?
For the things The things which we save for future,
Save. You have things in your house, no zakat. Everything in your house that you use, no zakat. The one that you didn't use, no zakat. You didn't pay zakat. And the only thing that you pay zakat is the gold, the jewelry made from gold and silver. These are the thing that you, a woman should pay zakat for them. The gold that is zakat. This is the best opinion among the opinions of the scholars. Although many scholars believe that there is no zakat in the jewelry that a woman is using. But the best opinion is the one that says she should pay the zakat every year. Because a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and there was a bracelet on her hand, on the hand of her daughter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, "What is this? Are you paying zakat for it?" She said, "No." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This will take you to hell." So that's very clear that there must be zakat in gold that is used by a woman. You get it? But as for the other things, the furniture, the beds, and the kitchen tools, and all of these things, there is no zakat in them at all. Alhamdulillah. I keep on being kind to him. That's the advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Idfa billati hiya ahsanu fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamim." Try and make your life in this way. Don't hate your Muslim brothers. Be kind to everyone. If they are hating you, try to go and apologize. Even if you know they're wrong, just apologize. Just ask them to, khalas, forget the issue. If they refuse to forget and to forgive, you get it. You just keep on maintaining your kindness. When you see them smile, say salam to them. Bidhinallahi, I'm telling you, one day they will learn the lesson and come back. And they will come and apologize to you. But you have to be patient. Sometimes it's very itchy. It's very itchy. You have to go. And you think, you believe you are the right one and he is wrong. So it's not easy to find yourself sometimes. But if you remember that this is the advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become very easy for you. Be very kind to them, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will become like waliyun hamim. They describe it. You see, when you marry a woman from the people, when you see the father of your wife, how is your respect? Very humble. Put your head down. You understand? Some scholars were describing the waliyun hamim here. You understand? Like the way you are dealing with the parent and the family of your wife. You see, when you see them, you become humble, mashallah. Fix yourself and stop making jokes. Everything in your life is serious. You see them, you smile. This is how this person is going to become for you. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix our affairs.